Cecilia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Cecilia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Cecilia. It is great to be here. It is Friday. That means it's Rapid Fire Friday if you're new to the program. What we do on Rapid Fire Friday is we try to rapidly fire through as many questions as we can, and we're not doing a very good job of it. Mostly my fault, because I've only done this for 23 years, so I haven't figured it out yet. But once I get it down, I'm sure it'll be better. The notion of me keeping it short and pithy to the answering the question, it'll be a lot better, but I'm not good at it. Now, I don't want to take all the blame, because we want to try to keep the questions pithy as well. Get right to the point and we'll get moving. We only do that on Friday. So the reason why is because we want people to move through the hold line a little bit faster. By the way, Monday, we're going to have a new phone number. That won't bother me or confuse me at all. But we're going to have a new phone number. So it is not going to be a toll-free number, because the general consensus is that most people call in on cell phones, so it's irrelevant. The people that do have landlines have unlimited long-distance calling. Even if they don't know it, they've been sold that, and they have unlimited long-distance calling. So it shouldn't make any difference, but I'll tell you what, it's going to save the ministry somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000 a year, more like $15,000 a year. And, you know, for us, that's a lot of money. And we want to save. I'm a believer in saving the nickels and dimes when you can, because they add up. And it is just crazy that we could potentially be paying $15,000 a year. Well, that's what we are paying, for something we potentially don't need. So if it looks like, we got to add it back in again, then we'll do it. But I want to give it a try and see, you know, it should be fine. I feel like we shouldn't miss a beat. I hope that is true. The only downside is, most of you have the 800 line memorized better than I do, so you don't have to think about it. Now you got to memorize a new number. The new number will be 610-363-1110. So easy to remember, I think. 610-363-1110. So that's what we're going to be going with Monday, or now, but that's what we're going to be going with. So I hope so. We're trying to be the best steward we can with all that we have, and we want to always watch even the little things. Okay. 844-707-5533. All the indices, by the way, are in positive territory right now. We'll see if that can hold. The Dow's off its session highs. It was up at the open, a little bit higher than where we are right now. So off its session highs. But nonetheless, the good news is everything is in the green, which is almost surprising in the sense that I got to believe, I don't know this, but I got to believe the volume is probably pretty low today. You know, look. Right now, we are in probably one of the biggest wait-and-see situations that we've been in a very long time. So right now, it's all about Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, next week. So next week is the big week. mainly because, not because of economic data. Yes, it's a big week economic data wise. And I am assuming that the economic data next week is going to hold because Thursday, of course, is a holiday. But I think our job numbers coming out for the month of June is going to be a very important number. That's coming out on Friday. We're going to get wages out as well. We'll see what that looks like. Hourly earnings. We're going to look at, we're going to see on Friday alone coming out with labor participation, unemployment rate, if there's any changes there. So lots of important end of the quarter, not just the end of June, but the end of the quarter, we will officially be halfway through the year, and those numbers coming out next week. But the big deal is tomorrow, Saturday. Yes, the big deal is tomorrow, Saturday. That is the day that the president is meeting with President Xi at the G20 summit. We are looking for some optimism. I'm not looking for a trade deal. I'm looking for a truce. That's what I'm looking for, just a truce. Can we just agree to disagree and agree not to escalate anything? I'm just looking for a truce. Then we can start thinking about trade. President Trump is speaking to the Prime Minister of India. Very, very, very important meeting. We've heard very little about it, but it's a very important meeting. So we're waiting for all of this and to try to get some information on that. Here comes Craig Haugart with our ag report, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to stay with phones for the next hour, 45 minutes. We'll be back.
This is Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Corn was weaker yesterday ahead of today's USDA planted acres report. The average trade guess is that it'll come in at 86.7 million acres, although there are some traders who fear that the USDA won't adjust acres at all since they showed an adjustment in a June 10th supply and demand report. In other news, the International Grains Council lowered their world production forecast for corn by just shy of 1.1 billion bushels yesterday, as the world supply seems to be constricting. Weekly export sales left traders uninspired as they came in at 11.6 million bushels. Soybeans traded lower as well on pre-report jitters. You may recall that the USDA left soybean acres unchanged in the June 10th supply and demand report, but are widely expected to adjust them today. The average trade estimate is that planted acres will end up at 84.35 million acres. Weekly export sales came in at a very disappointing 6.2 million bushels, which put some pressure on prices yesterday as well. Wheat was mixed, with Chicago and Minneapolis mostly higher and Kansas City mostly lower. The uncertainty seems to be a combination of pre-report jitters as well as a weather picture that seems to be improving for both the United States and Europe. In yesterday's report, the International Grains Council raised the estimate of world production by 3 million tons to 769 million metric tons. Weekly export sales for wheat were a pleasant surprise yesterday as they came in at a solid 22.5 million bushels. Cotton finished the day a bit softer yesterday, with December futures down 30 points as they settled at 66.09. Livestock futures were mixed, with cattle slightly weaker and hogs stronger. August live cattle futures were 2.5 cents lower, while August feeder cattle also finished the session down 2.5 cents. August lean hog futures, on the other hand, finished the day up $1.70 per hundredweight. The quarterly hogs and pigs report showed all hogs and pigs at 103.6% of last year, which in absolute terms is the highest hogs and pigs inventory for the June 1st time period since 1964, when this reporting began. Class 3 milk futures had a good day, with July futures closing up 10 points to settle at 17.18. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were down 67 cents to settle at 219.03, while selects were $1.66 lower for the day, settling at 196.90. In hogs, the pork carcass values finished 22 cents higher as they closed out the session at $74.19 per hundredweight. This has been Craig Haugart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, now's the time to do it, because we've got an hour and 45 minutes of being on the phones. So that's what we're going to do. It's Rapid Fire Friday. Now is a good time to call in, queue your call up. We have lines open. 844-707-5533 if you want to queue your call. We're going to go right to phones. Let me go to Blair. Blair's calling us from Virginia. Hey, Blair.
Hey, Dan. Rapid Fire Friday. Happy Friday to you.
I called you
last Friday. You were kind enough to help me shift all the funds out of my brokerage account that was professionally managed. Now it's sitting in a Fidelity account. It came in within the last 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm surprised.
So
I'm surprised.
Yeah, within 4 to 5 days.
Wow. That's
pretty good.
Yeah, it is, especially the end of the quarter.
Yeah, and they did not hit me up for any fees
where
they
good.
Had to sell out.
Good.
So they did the right thing. Yeah. But my question to you is, as I'm looking, I've looked at all the instructional videos that you suggested. Uh-huh. A very decent handle on this, but now I'm looking at my asset allocation model at 55 to 65.
Okay.
And there are 20 different decisions or 20 slices of that pie I have to begin to pour into. And within each sector, sometimes there's, you were saying, probably at least three companies within each sector. I've got 14 mutual funds that I need to turn to cash that are not biblically responsible. Do I cut them all today? Do I wait? You're talking about this weekend, big news coming. At what point do I dump it all into cash and slowly get into the asset allocation model? I hate being 100% cash.
Yeah, yeah. I would. Do you have any international mutual funds?
Yes.
Okay, definitely do them today. Do you have any?
Okay.
What else? Do you have a small cap fund?
Small cap. Yep. Small cap. Japanese.
How many international different international funds do you have? Just one.
I am actually looking at right now. It looks like it's one of the largest holding is Euro Pacific.
Oh yes. Yeah. My word.
Get rid of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably down on that, right? Unless you've had it a long time.
I didn't have a cost basis to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely get rid of that. Holy mackerel. Do that now. Because that could shoot up if things really go good on the weekend. You know, that could be really good for that fund, but man, it could really be bad if there's any bad news. And you know, I say it's 50-50 chance. I wouldn't take the chance. I'd probably get out of it now. I think it's probably best to just dump them all now. And I think it's a good idea and a good time to start weaning in and start getting in. And I would begin the process by going through the sectors and taking a pick from the buy list in every sector. There may be some sectors that don't have anything on the buy list, so you have to hold off on those. But I would get a position. In each sector, and then I start rotating through again, and watching those, rotating through again, in a couple weeks, and get another position. I would not have a problem. I don't know how much money you're dealing with, so I'm a little disadvantaged here. But I would say that I wouldn't have a problem with you having. I'm just going to talk about the energy sector. With you having a refinery, an oil company, and a service sector company, say, you know, I don't have a service sector company on my buy list right now, but I do have an oil company and a refinery. So I wouldn't have any problem with you buying two positions. Now, I don't know how much you need. Let's say you need 10%. Those two positions shouldn't be 10%. You know, but they should. You should take those positions anyway to up to maybe 5%. So I would be okay with some sectors that are very diversified on the buy list, where I have some diversification in the sectors. Like another area where you would see diversification similar to what I just said would be the materials section. So I wouldn't have a problem with you taking a small position in two stocks as opposed to just one. But I would start like that. Don't try to get all your money invested at once. But let's pick a goal. So pick a goal of, you know what, by October, the end of October, I'm going to be all in. And I think that would be wise. There is some changes that could happen. There's three things that could happen with our partners and our strategies. Two of them are changes, and one of them is no changes at all. And one of those scenarios, we're either going to not have any changes, in which everybody just keeps going about the business as the way things are set up now, or there's going to be a couple changes. That's not going to impact you, because I would hope and I suspect, and I am really, really hoping this is going to be the case, that within the next 2 weeks, those changes will be made based on the data that we have. So I think just get started. I think it's probably best to sell out of those mutual funds at this point.
Okay. About 25% of this asset weighting for my age is in Timothy funds.
Okay.
Several different Timothy funds. Do I jump into those 100% or do I dollar cost average? How do you recommend that?
No, I would dollar cost average over the next 4 months.
Okay.
So let's say your total position is that you need is 7%, and that ends up being $4,000. I would put $1,000 a month in until it's in.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you so much. You're doing a great job out there. And I also wanted to, you're very patient with your callers. I know you love Christ because I've heard it over the months. Just amazing how you are, your patience shows through, and you're a light to those of us that continue to try to walk like he is.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you saying that, man. That is encouragement. Thank you so much, Blair. God bless. And really, thank you for your partnership. I'm glad you're doing this. I pray that you won't regret it. I don't think you will. You're saving money, and in the long run, you're going to, for the first time maybe in your life, you're going to know exactly what you have and why you have it, and really be, more importantly than anything, honoring God with what he has blessed you with, and that alone is going to give you peace. So good stuff. Thanks, Blair.
Thanks, Dan.
Yep, bye. You're welcome. 844-707-5533. I always love it. You know, one of the things that I pray is that people would hear Christ in my voice, because oftentimes I'm not here talking about our Lord and Savior. Sometimes I like to be, and sometimes I just go home. On the way home from the studio, I repent that I didn't. But I do pray every day that people can hear Christ in my voice and in my heart. I want people to hear my heart, not just my voice. And it's always encouraging to know that that is coming through, and I'm so grateful to our Lord for that. All right, let me go to Brandon. Brandon's calling from Mississippi. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good.
All right, good. I just had a quick question about the Timothy funds. I have a couple stocks in them, and the dividends, how do they work? Is it says I'm using Robinhood. And it says on there that it doesn't have a dividend.
Which one is it?
I have some in both.
Of both of the ETFs?
Yes.
Yeah, so the TPHD has a dividend. It's designed to have a dividend and pay a dividend. So that definitely has a dividend. So Robinhood, don't worry about it. They don't know what they're talking about. But there is going to be a dividend on that. That's looking like right now it's going to be somewhere around 2.5%, maybe a little more. Somebody, a partner, sent me an email this week telling me what the dividend was, because somebody called and I said, you know what, I haven't even looked at it. I don't know, because it's so early, you know, that ETF is just getting up and running. So but it's somewhere around 2.5, 3%. So regardless of what Robinhood says, there is a dividend.
Okay, and one quick question. I have some stocks in a company where their stocks only cost about $10, but their dividend is like over $7.80. Is that volatile? Should I get out of that, or?
I'd get out of that. That's a little scary. I would not. I don't think I would have that. I wouldn't feel very comfortable being in a $10 stock that was paying that kind of dividend. Something's wrong with that picture. Which
the
means
it's been around since 1903.
Yeah. What company is it? A big company? Can't be.
Yeah, it's Ford.
Oh, Ford. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not biblically responsible, unfortunately. And when you say $7, that's their annual dividend. So per share, right? Is that what it is? Is that what they're paying? I don't even know. I should, because I still track it, but I don't look at it from a dividend perspective. But that is one. That's up to you. I mean, it's a great dividend producer. It's paying about 5.5% a year in dividend. And, that's a real solid dividend. And by the way, there's no reason for them to lower that dividend. Probably moving forward, it's probably going to continue to do that. But it's unfortunate to me that they're not biblically responsible. I like the company. I like what they're doing. They are, without a doubt, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and by leaps and bounds, the most well-managed auto company in the U.S. for sure. And their management is amazing, and that's why it killed me to take them off the list. And I am talking to them, and I am hoping that we can get them back on the list. But it's a great company. It's a solid company financially. It's a solid company, but they got to stop using company money to promote and move forward an agenda that is grieving the heart of God. And that's what we're asking them to do. If they love the agenda and the president loves the agenda, then he can do it with his own money. He's making a ton. So, but anyway, we'll keep working on it. Thank you, Brandon.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. 844-707-5533. We got lines open, man. Come on. It's Rapid Fire Friday. And Yvonne is in here answering phones. And I don't like her not being busy. It's making me nervous. So call in 844-707-5533. Let me go to Georgia, calling from Arkansas.
Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm a partner, and I'm hoping to retire in a year or two. So I'm readjusting my portfolio to have all dividend-paying stocks. So I was wanting to know if you, for me personally, if you would recommend me buying LYB.
Let's see. I probably at this point, I would be okay with it if you are, certain that you're an income investor. It is paying a good dividend. I would be okay with it.
Okay. Okay. Then my next question, I noticed it on your website that you had to sell gain, but I missed why you wanted us to sell that.
Just because I think it was time I'm concerned about their dividend. They are going through some financial problems. I know they're going to cut their dividend. I feel reasonably sure about that and some other things. And I think it was the prudent thing to do because of some things that are going on inside the company.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. You've been a great help. And I read your website every Monday.
Great.
So thank you so much. I
appreciate
all your help.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Georgia. Okay. Thank you. Let me go to folks, please. I'll just say it. I know George already did. But I'm very limited as to what I can say once you give out this symbol number. So I'm not going to give you all the information that I'd like to give you. So, I feel bad because I'm thinking of things that I might have wanted to tell Georgia that I didn't, because she gave out the symbol. So that's why we have them numbered, for that reason. It frees me up to say what I want, because there's not somebody listening that is going to run out. Because even if it's a stock I say don't buy, people are going to run out and buy it because they don't hear that part. Or even if I say buy it because it's appropriate for Georgia, people that it's not appropriate for may run out and buy it. And I like to use, like, that particular stock as MA39. The reason why we have MA39 and the stock's numbered is so that it helps me, it frees me up to give you the best information about your question that I can do, that I can give you. Otherwise, I become very constrained, not because for any other reason other than I want to be, not because of what I'm saying to you, but because I don't want to hurt somebody else, because I know it will. Somebody that's not a partner, somebody that doesn't understand, somebody that hears me wrong, which is about 80% of the people listening. They only hear, people have selective hearing. It's just a thing that anybody on radio understands. People have selective hearing, and they only hear the symbol and the buy, and or the symbol and I really like that. And there are people buying a non-biblically stock as we speak. Because, you know, I didn't mind talking about it because it's not on my list at all. So I know my partners aren't buying that anyway, but there was a whole bunch of other people that were buying it right now because we mentioned it. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I really don't want anybody to be hurt and without really understanding the system. So anyway, let me go to Stephen. Stephen calling from Virginia. Hey, Stephen.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Three quick questions.
Okay.
The last one you might not be able to answer because,
okay,
anyway, you'll know. One, when you're getting into the ETFs, is that also kind of like a dollar cost, do it over time?
Not the two Timothy ETFs because they're too new.
Okay, so you can go all in.
Yes.
When you're getting in that position, when you're building that position.
Correct.
On the portfolio. Okay, cool. Second question, is there ever a time that inherited IRAs become free to take out of that scenario?
No.
No, okay.
No, no matter what happens, they can never be changed. They will always be in it. Now, unless you withdraw all the money, obviously.
Right, well, right.
Then you can do whatever you want, but then you got to pay all the tax. Yep.
All the tax, right. Okay. And then third, MA39, and again, you may not be able to speak to it, something about a Dutch option going on.
Yeah.
Do you want to give anything about that today, or do you want to wait a couple days?
No, I can tell you about it. I mean, there's a Dutch auction going on. A Dutch auction is determining a sale price. And the way it works, I'm really being, I'm making something that's somewhat complicated sound easy, a little bit less complicated than it probably is. But if you go to an auction and people are bidding on a horse, then at the auction, obviously, the more they bid, the higher the bid, eventually the horse is going to sell for the final bid, and it's going to, as it gets more expensive. A Dutch auction, when it comes to publicly traded securities, works kind of opposite of that. So the the first bid that is accepted, the very first bid, is kind of the baseline for the actual cost of the stock. And then as it gets bidded either lower or higher, there is an average that works out to what the high price will be. And the high price generally is what is known to those that are selling, looking to bid this thing, get this Dutch auction going. So it's very complicated, because the key part of a Dutch auction is the low bid, not the high bid. It doesn't mean that it's going to be at the low bid, but that plays a big role. But here's all that we care about if we own the stock, or what they're looking to do with us. The only thing that matters is going to be the end result and what the number is. And if you sell prior to that, as some brokers are trying to get you to do, to give you an offer price, you may find out later that you took a low price compared to what it's actually going to end up. And if you'd have held on to it, you might have gotten the higher price. The opposite could be true when the bidding starts. The opposite could be true, and you might have made out better by selling. But nobody is offering you, the brokers, if they're offering you a price, the odds are that they believe, for one reason or another, based on some of the analytics they're looking at, they believe the bid is going to drive it higher. They're not trying to buy a losing stock. So they are looking at that. So you can almost count on whatever they're offering you, it's probably going to be worth a little bit more than that at some point in time. The other side of it is, with this particular company, is why give up any shares of it? It pays 4.5% on an annual yield. It's undervalued right now. The valuation on this is low. It's a large cap company. This is a company that is valued somewhere around enterprise value of somewhere around $40 to $42 billion, and it's got a market cap of $32 billion, meaning that and that says to the valuations. And the shares being held, I'm giving you way too much information, you're probably glazed over, but the shares that are being held by institutions have been going up. It's up to 72% right now. I might not be right about that, but it's close. It's going up. It doesn't matter what it is. It's going up. So more institutional investors are coming in. And if I own the stock, which I do, if I own the stock, I'm just keeping it. I'm just letting it go. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't on your sell list anyway.
Yeah, right, right.
I just wondered why that would be of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
What did it speak to the fact that the company wants to buy all that back? What's that purpose?
Well, because that creates more value for them. That makes this company more valuable, and it drives the stock price up. Because a stock goes up because there's buying, right? Well, when a company buys their stock, they get a double whammy. Not only does it go up because all the markets know or stocks are being bought, and that's driving the price up, but at the very same time, it's taking inventory off the market. So when inventory comes off the market, supply is going down and demand is higher because the stock's going up. And they benefit big time all the way around. So that's why they do that.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We've got another hour and 10 minutes to get through some questions, so we're going to continue, 844-707-5533. And let me go back to the phones and go to Lloyd. Lloyd's calling us from California. Hey, Lloyd.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Great. My dad had, he's 94, and he had, a pretty big, stock portfolio. When Trump had got elected, and just with everything being so volatile, I pulled all the money out, and it's just sitting in cash.
Okay.
It's not, it's just there. And I just kind of was just chilling out to see, how it goes. I just didn't want to, at 94, I just didn't want to, take a chance of anything for him right now. He needs the money to kind of live and all that good stuff. So the question is, I've been thinking about CDs or treasury bills, or, if you have suggestions, what might be a good thing to do, because it's, it's just sitting there, not doing anything, but I really, want something safe, but just something that can make, can earn some income for them.
Yeah. So from a percentage perspective, how much is he drawing out of the portfolio?
He's about, he hasn't even touched that. He's got also, he's got about maybe 150, are we allowed to say numbers?
Sure, yeah.
But you're looking at 150 in checking right now that he's been living off of.
Okay.
Roughly about 150,000, and the portfolio is about 550 right now.
Okay.
And we haven't pulled anything out of the, we haven't had to, but his expense is about 30,000. He needs about at least 30,000 to live. And he also has, he owns a house or whatever that is. That's another, I don't know. He's doing okay. It's just, he's just not making anything on this.
Sure. So I would probably take $100,000 and tell you to put it into something like a Vanguard Ginnie Mae fund.
Okay.
I'm
going to write this down.
Yeah, that's fine. Vanguard Ginnie Mae fund. It's a great fund. It's, there's going to be a little volatility with it, but in a very, very, very tight range. And what I mean by that is you may put $100,000 in, and next month it might be, $99,997. It's going to go down a couple dollars. It's going to go up a couple of dollars. It's going to go down a half a percent, up a half a percent. It's not going to be in a big range. It's going to be very tight. They're all U.S. treasuries that are in there, and they're all short-term U.S. treasuries. It's not going to be volatile. It pays somewhere in the neighborhood. I don't know what it is exactly, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.75 to 2.25, somewhere in that neighborhood, as far as rate of return goes, yield.
Dividends?
Dividends, yep. So you'll get the dividends regardless of what the, the little bit of volatility you can be. But here's the thing.
Okay.
After a year, it's probably not going to go negative at all, even by a few pennies, because of the yield that it's paid and so on and so forth. And you'll be pretty good there, but it's a great way to get something a little bit better than a short-term CD, but maintaining liquidity so you can get it anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you could do. The other thing you could do is ladder out some CDs for the rest of it.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, and that makes good sense. But here's the thing when you do that. I wouldn't go too short term, because it you don't need to. There's not going to be any real interest rate risk. That, you know, in other words, getting a CD at, you know, 0.75% and then it going up higher in that short period of time. It's not going to happen. We're not in that environment. So I would get, you know, I would look at least starting at a minimum 12 months, but I would be okay with 18 months at this point and get a little bit of a higher rate of return. So I would look at, you know, an 18-month CD and then maybe a two-year CD and then even a two-and-a-half year CD and just, you know, keep them going. And I think that would be fine. And I would shop it around beyond your bank. I would really, because there are some very competitive rates out there right now. As a matter of fact, Christian Community Credit Union has a money market account that is paying higher than some CDs. Money's very liquid, you can move in and out. And for a, you know, a fairly, I don't know what the minimum is, but it's a pretty large sum of money. I'm gonna say $50,000 or something like that. I don't know what it is. You'd have to call them. But that would be a great place to start. They also have some very good CD rates. And they have CD rates that you can go long-term, meaning 3 years, say, and you can change the rate if the rates do go up.
What's the name of the company? It's called Christian what?
It's Christian Community Credit Union.
Community, okay.
And I'll give you their phone number. Okay. It's 844-305-3476.
Okay.
And now, it's a great, great organization, very, very solid. Been around 60 years. They're home based in California, in Southern California. They're a great, great organization.
Do you have to belong to anything, or I can just call up and just...
Yeah, you can. The list...
I mean, I am a Christian.
Yeah.
And I go to church and all that good stuff, but there's some kind of...
You would probably qualify. You know, so I don't think that'll be an issue. Or, you know, tell them you're part of financial issues, you know.
Okay.
So we're on the list as well. So,
That
would be a great place to take a look at what they are. But even at that, and I'm saying that, shop it around. I wouldn't change the money in the checking account. I wouldn't use any of that. I know that's a lot of money, and I know it's a lot of money to have in cash. I would continue to use that, you know, and you can replenish it every once in a while. I would hope that you're getting a pretty decent rate on that money. I mean, decent as you can get. But
I don't know if there's a, I don't think they're interest bearing.
Oh, well, you need to change.
I think the reason why is because I don't know if they're all, everything he's got right now is FDIC.
Yeah.
I don't know if when it's like that, they don't pay anything because there's no, I mean, because it's insured. And that's the other thing that, you know, has been a question in my mind is when you start investing in stocks and stuff, I don't know, I guess you lose that FDIC thing. But again, that was just, you know, I was a little bit super apprehensive.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, this is what he needs to live on. You know,
yeah.
This is his.
You should be able to go to a bank in your area or, you know, even a credit union, the Christian Community Credit Union. You should be able to go in a bank and have that much money in a checking account and get interest. That
okay.
I don't know what they're telling you, why they're telling you. That's just, you know, they don't want to pay the interest. But you should be able to get interest on that. And if they don't, I would move it.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know. I mean, I'm just throwing the FDIC thing. I don't know what the reasoning is. I just know that they are, everything he has right now is FDIC, you know, covered. Yeah. We got like 250, you know, each on those. So as far as back to the laddering, 18 a month, 2 year, 2.5. So right now we're looking at 100. We pull out for Vanguard. I'm just hearing what you're saying.
Yep.
And then that leaves us 450,000.
Right.
So another 100 in the 18, another, I mean, how would we?
I would divide it by three and work it out.
And then go 18, two.
And two and a half. And two and a half.
Okay, so the 100 and then whatever the leftover,
yep.
Divide that by three.
Yep.
And you think that's pretty good, huh? And that's going
to
be.
I mean, I think that's just, to stay safe, it's as good as it's going to get. Now, you're not going to get, if you do it at the bank, they're not all going to be insured. You're only going to be insured up to $250,000. The credit union, they're all insured. They don't have a limit by name. Their limit is on the account. But keep that in mind if that's a concern of yours.
Right now, he's got the money in Charles Schwab's.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no insurance there. Okay. And, well, let me just say this. I'm glad you mentioned that. Charles Schwab, click on their website and go to CDs. You can get FDIC-insured CDs from Charles Schwab. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can shop the entire country. So you can look at what rates are. You might have to have a CD in Denver or a CD in Virginia, but, you know, it won't matter, and you can do it all through the website and the account at Charles Schwab. Think about that.
Okay.
I got to run, Lloyd. I sure appreciate you calling. Thank you.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Folks, I know a lot of you have to leave us. We got another hour left, so cue your